first player on the ice, save for the goalies, does that say something to you? Is that a message? Do you take that as, you know what, this kid now is trying to show everybody that he's here to do it for real?
I think it's a good start. It's still day one of training camp, and we know Jake has had a history in this organization, but he says message received. He's saying all the right things in the media. He's saying he learned a lot from Travis Green last year in Utica. And that's a good start, being the first guy on the ice and being here and ready to go and eager, because he's got a lot to prove in this training camp if he wants an NHL job this year.
And do you think I'm of the mindset now, and so is John, that he has a legit chance of making this team. Do you see it the same way?
Yeah, I think he does. I think it's probably in a depth role, but we've talked about this in the past. He's the kind of guy that can play a depth role because he's physical, because he can skate really well, and you know what, he's got potential offensive upside as well, as we saw in junior, and you know, he's shown flashes in pro hockey of being a guy that can score too. So it kind of depends what Travis Green wants the fourth line to look like, and whether he would rather give opportunities to guys like Derek Dorsett and Ryan White on that fourth line, and if he wants them to be rough and tumble. Maybe that doesn't quite fit what Jake Virtanen can do, although maybe it could as well. As I said, he can be a physical presence, but I think he's got a shot here. It just sort of depends on what the organization sees in him in terms of development, because I know, Sat, in the past, you've talked about how if he's going to play fourth-line minutes, maybe you want him playing first-line minutes in Utica instead, and that's an interesting element of it as well.
How advantageous do you think it was working with Travis Green in Utica almost all of last year and being told specific instructions heading into the summer?
Well, I think that was huge, and then also he's got a leg up on a lot of the veterans here in training camp even, because he's been through Travis Green practices, so he knows what to expect. He knows where Travis Green sets that level, and the book on Travis Green practices from talking to him and from talking to some of the veterans who are experiencing it for the first time now is that they're up-tempo practices and you've got to work hard. And so Jake comes in, he has that knowledge, and I think that's a good place for him to start. I think where he's really going to prove himself and where we'll separate, you know, whether he's going to be on the team or whether he's going to be in Utica is his performance in the preseason.
As a right-hand shot, as a right winger, if Jake makes this team, do you also see Brock Besser having a chance to make an impact here?
I think it's really hard to say. You know, there's not much room for young players. Like, unless they're going to waive guys or unless they're going to make trades to move veterans out, I could see Brock Besser starting in Utica. And he had some flashes at the Young Stars tournament in Penticton. We saw him do some things on the ice that I don't think very many of the players could do in terms of creating and slowing the play and using his athleticism to buy himself time and set up chances. He did hit two goalposts in the games he played. But it might not be the worst thing for him to start in Utica, and I know that's not necessarily something that some Canucks fans want to hear, but he's still a very young player. He's only just out of college, and yeah, he had the good stretch last year, but he'd come off a college season, and it was late in the year. The Canucks were out of playoff positioning at that point. Maybe some of the other teams are taking them a little bit lightly, or they're not matching up guys against Brock Besser, which is something I think Bo Horvat might have to deal with a little bit as well, is getting better line matchups going into this season. But it's possible that Jake Virtanen on this team means Brock Besser not on this team.
It could mean that, although listening carefully to what Travis Green and Jim Benning had to say yesterday, and Green has been making this point repeatedly. He's been on the station now two or three times within a week, and we had a chance to both talk to him on and off the air, and he keeps reiterating, and I'm going to take him at his word because he keeps saying the same thing, and if you want to have credibility, then you know you should stand by what you say, and if he's keep saying the same thing, he says he wants guys, if they deserve to be here, they're going to make room for him. If a player shows that he deserves to be on this team, they're going to make it. Jim Benning said, it's not about who I want on a team. If Travis Green comes and tells me this young guy should be here, I'll make room for him. And if that's truly the case, then I'm going to take him at their word and say if Besser and Virtanen both play really well and actually do sort of blow the socks off everyone, they could make room for them. The other part here, too, is with Brendan Gaughans being injured, Derek Dorsett, we're not quite sure. They said he's been cleared for contact. We'll see how that goes. And then there could be other injuries as well, right, Patch?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's an interesting way to look at it. And, of course, there could be injuries. We saw this team have tons of injuries last year, and right now they're healthy for the most part. But maybe it's a Brock Besser situation just like the Troy Stetcher situation last year, where, you know, they didn't really make room for Troy Stetcher when he played well out of training camp, and injuries allowed him to come up very quickly. I think he only played four games in Utica. But the other side of that argument is, okay, it's great to say that you're going to find spots for guys that deserve to be on the team, particularly your young players, but then you have to look at asset management. You're going to have to waive or lose chips that you've got in order to get those guys on the roster, and then you have to sort of weigh, is it worth it or not? If it is down to Anton Rodin or Brock Besser or something like that, are you going to waive Anton Rodin, or how are you going to look at that situation? So this is why a lot of people didn't like some of the veteran signings they made, is because it kind of puts them in a corner where it's a no-win situation. Either you're sending a young player down and people are disappointed about that, or you're waiving and losing an asset for nothing and people are disappointed about that as well.
Well, you could do what they did last year. I mean, you can talk about everybody making the team, and then you can sort of make moves for the first week or two to sort of figure your roster out, and then you can still play the guys. I mean, if Virtanen or Besser make the team, you'd like to see him here for every game, but if they play 75 or 70 as opposed to 80, 82, when you're rebuilding and looking for the future anyways, missing a few games at the start of the season isn't a big deal. But if these guys prove that they're playing well, and they also show that if they go down to Utica for a week or two and they're performing really well, you would assume that they'd make room for them at some point.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case, particularly if they can perform in Utica. So if Brock Besser does have to start the season in the American Hockey League, but he goes down there, he's getting first-line minutes, he's playing on the power play, he's producing, then you know more often than not, or sooner rather than later, he's going to be up with the big club. The one player that I think maybe that doesn't apply to, though, is Thatcher Demko. Hmm. And they've got two 27-year-old netminders that they've brought in here. And Thatcher Demko is saying all the right things coming into training camp about, you know, I want to earn a spot on this hockey club. He's got that mentality coming in. I think it would be a big surprise for me if Thatcher Demko makes this hockey club. And I think it would speak more to Jacob Markstrom or Anders Nielsen really faltering in training camp in the preseason if that happens. But that's probably a good thing. We've seen with goaltenders, more development in the American Hockey League can be a good thing. The organization took that approach with Corey Schneider a few years ago, and obviously that served him very well. So we'll see Thatcher Demko in the preseason for sure, and I think that's pretty exciting to get a look at him against NHL shooters and at this level to see what he can do. And I think it'd be nice if you can get him into games before the end of the year as well. But I asked Travis Green that question yesterday, and he said, simply put, if he's ready for NHL minutes, he'll get NHL minutes. If he's not, then he won't. And so the organization, at least to this point, is keeping that same message, keeping that same line, but it'll be interesting to see what happens when you get down to having to make those roster decisions.
Travis Green probably is a great poker player because he just keeps his cards so close to that chest, man. I want to get your thoughts on Nikolai Goldobin. He's starting in first day of training camp, but he's paired with the Sedins yet again. That's where he had a bit of success at the tail end of last year. What do you want to see from him out of the training camp sessions?
Well, I want to see a high level of effort. I want to see the elite offensive talent that he's got. And then once we get into the preseason, I think he has to show that he's rounded out his game a little bit too, because the thing we know about the Twins is they're not the most fleet of foot anymore now, getting into their veteran years, and they were never the best skaters anyway. So the player that plays with them has to be hard in on the forecheck and has to be hard back on the back check as well. And that's the criticism of Goldobin's game, is that he hasn't been a 200-foot player to this point. So he's got to show that he's committed to the defensive side of the game as well. If he wants to earn a spot on this hockey club, if he wants to earn a spot playing with the Sedins. So it'll be interesting to see how he slots in. I think if we're talking about Besser and Virtanen and Goldobin, I can't see all three of them on the team just because the room isn't there. And right now I would say Goldobin is probably the most likely to start in the American
Hockey League. He's the guy, you're right, Batch, that I look at too and say probably has the toughest road to make this team. And it does worry a lot of fans because the Russian factor comes back, right? And, you know, you look at what happened with Trampkin last year, and that really cuts deep with Canucks fans. I mean, you're emotionally invested in these players, and then all of a sudden they take off, and it's like, you know, why did this happen? And with Goldobin, if he doesn't get a fair shake here, or how he perceives it to be, we can sit here and talk about he got a fair shake or not, the team can say it, but it's a matter of how he feels. And if he feels he's not getting a shot at the end of the year, who knows what happens. So that's a really delicate situation. And And I don't envy the Canucks where they are at with this, but I do look at it and say he has a lot of skill, he has a lot of talent. If he can show that assertiveness and not be weak in puck battles and sort of, you know, get in there. And it's not about showing balls or whatever you want to talk about, but it's a matter of at least get out there and, you know, don't do flybys. You know, if you see a puck battle, don't shy away. Go in there and try to get the puck. You don't have to win every puck battle, but at least get your nose dirty every once in a while.
Yeah, and I think with Goldobin, the situation that might best suit him is going down to the American Hockey League, and then if they have an injury in their top six, you bring him in and you slot him in there and you get him those minutes, because he's not a guy you're going to play on your fourth line at the NHL level. He's just too skilled for that. And as I said, the defensive side of the game is what he's been criticized for not rounding out, and that level of competitiveness that maybe you mentioned too, Sat. But I don't think you manage him with the fear that he goes to Russia, though. I don't think you can approach it that way. You have to do what's best for your hockey club. As they've been saying all week, the best players make the team. And if Nikolai Goldobin isn't one of those best players, and if he decides to go to the KHL at the end of the season, then so be it. But you don't put him on the NHL club just because you're afraid of losing him. That's not the way this league works.
You're right, and it'll be an interesting storyline to follow throughout training camp, and we can't wait for you to get on the air and call these games coming up as soon as this weekend. So, Batch, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be talking with you throughout training camp. We have a lot going on, and we've spent a lot of time talking Canucks training camp. We're here at Rogers Arena. We're going to stay here the entire week, so we're going to give you the latest on Canucks training camp and everything that's going on. Anything happens, we're going to be the first ones to let you know. Like John Jang tweeted out, Jake Virtanen, the first player on the ice, trying to show that he belongs with the Canucks this season. We're going to talk some NFL, of course, a little bit of that. Whitecaps, huge match coming up, a massive match tonight at BC Place against Minnesota United. If they win this match, they could be first in the West. And it's been a while since a team in this market, well, other than the Vancouver Canadiens, who clinched their fourth Northwest League title in seven seasons last night. So congratulations to them. We're going to talk some soccer, some NFL, more Canucks. That's all next, right here in the new home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.